Very cool. And well, you know, he takes care of us. You know, it's just this thing about, and we'll talk about this a little bit more tonight, because that even leads into something that we're going to go over. We're in a series right now. We're in part three, and we're doing a series right now actually on prayer. And so we're posting these as well, so that's why we go through. And then also, nothing that we do is in secret. We say everything openly, and we don't mind anybody questioning, because we always go back to the Word, and we are grounded in the Word, not in a denomination or an organization or anything else. We seek Christ. But, you know, Tanya's testimony is just one of a thousand ways that he does that for us on a daily. And we, you know, it's just, I mean, it's something very pronounced in that we can really be grateful to him. But, you know, when we step back a little bit more and we start seeing, wow, gee, he just, how many things he handles and takes care of for us and watches over us. And that's his promise when we seek first the kingdom, that the things that we need, he'll take care of, because he's mindful of those. So very, very cool. Thank you. And Sandy, that I'm very happy that just like that, on call, way to go. But you know, here's something too. I want to make a point of this. It's that in the time that we're moving into right now in the world, you, especially if you're going
to
follow Christ, you have to be in tune, because you won't always get your nice 30-minute hour in the morning with your tea and quiet reading time and get all settled and ready to go. And no, it's not going to happen like that. The world that we are living in now, the world that we're moving into, more now than ever before, requires that you live in tune and in step with the Holy Spirit, because if not, you will become, you will in and of yourself get so, you will start becoming like the world, and you'll get stressed out about everything that's taking place around you. You get caught up with all these other things, and your mind, you will literally see people lose their mind in the years ahead with everything that comes on the world, because they won't be able to handle, because they're not grounded in the truth or in Christ. And so see, when we even talk about prayer, it's not, we made that in the first part when we discussed it, we discussed the difference between the act of prayer and the state of prayer. The act of prayer is something that you would do, you know, when Jesus said, when you pray in Matthew 6, that's the act of prayer. The scriptures also tell us, pray continually. So that's a state of prayer. So you live in a place where you can be in complete and total connection with the Father. So anything that he would want to say and speak to you, you're in a place where he can and will do that. So even like when Sandy was there and, you know, she's put on the spot, just like that, the Holy Spirit gives her two very appropriate praises back to the Father, and she knows that. And if you would have had 2 days to prepare, it probably would have been, you know, I mean, so it's the key is not in the methods. The key is in the heart and in the connection. So when we talk about prayer, we're talking about even the heart and the connection with the very source of life, who is God himself. Okay. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. So we're on prayer. We're going into part 3. We're going to touch a little bit on the last stuff, and then we're going to come back. So Amos is a tiny book. So if you need to check your index, I just want to grab one verse here. And then our foundational text is actually in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus speaks on prayer. But I want to use the time efficiently today. So we'll do some recap, but Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, the verse says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And some other versions say, "How can two walk together lest they be agreed?" But basically the principle is, if you are going on a journey anywhere, how can you can't do it unless you are in agreement with the person that you're traveling with. Because when you're not, people split company. You see a case in the scriptures in Acts 15, where there's a sharp dispute between Paul and Barnabas. They were in disagreement about something, which was Mark. They split company. One went one way, one went the other way. One was on the side of the mission, the other was on the side of the missionary. And they had a very sharp disagreement, and they split company. They went in different directions. Now, both of them, though, were still in connection with the Father, but they had a disagreement about something very practical, that it just was so sharp that they couldn't go on anymore together at that time. Later on, because they remained in connection to Christ, you actually see Paul requesting John Mark to be sent back into and used as part of his ministry, saying, hey, he's helpful, he's cool, he's on point. So, but the principle here, and this is a a life principle. Can two walk together except they be agreed? When you come to the Father in prayer, you are essentially coming into a place where you are in agreement with Him, with His Word, with His Spirit, with the leading and directing of who He is. So what happens when you see in life, for example, divorces, when people go through divorces in the secular sense, it's because all of a sudden they disagree. And they say they cannot live together anymore. And you know, the number one in the States, the number one, can you guess what the number one reason cited when they file their divorce papers is? Irreconcilable differences. And which is a nice, convenient, that the world, now it's still spiritually, on a spiritual level, you're still connected up with that person, and you'll have all these other baggage strained issues even if you split and go in two different directions. But basically the point being that they say, look, we can't get over this thing, and they're going two different directions. Now, to do that on a spiritual sense and to go in a separate direction from the Father, a separate direction from Jesus, is to go in a way that would be destruction unto yourself. Again, one scriptures that we build here. When everything that we do builds on previous stuff. So just in case, you know, if you feel a little like it's there too. So, Proverbs 19 verse 2 says that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. It's either 19:2 or 19:3. The other one is, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. But so there's a way that seems right to people, but when they deviate from the path of God, and they deviate from His direction, they actually end up going into something that destroys themselves. So, quick flip to John 14, verse 6. Now keep that in mind, Amos 3:3. And go to John 14, verse 6. This is one. This verse covers so much. But Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, this, just that one statement covers a million different things. But within the context of what we're working with here, so Jesus is the way. He's also the gate. So He's the way onto the way. Then He is the way Himself. He's the one that goes with us on the way. So I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So it's an all-encompassing person and presence that we immerse ourselves into when we are in Jesus Christ and we pray in His name. Let me re-sketch this for you from last time, just so that we, because otherwise you have to see this. Okay, when we talk about praying in Jesus' name, okay, anyone want to remind me? Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He is the author and the finisher. He is the beginning and the end. He is The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. So Jesus, and John 15, that He is the vine, we are the branches. So Jesus is the bounds of our habitation. So when we come into Christ, this is us, individuals. Here, I'll give us little bodies. There you go. Okay. There we are.
We all have big kittens.
Yeah. It's kind of alien looking. All right. So Jesus is also, He's the way. So He's the path. He is, but we come into Christ. Now, the priesthood of all believers is, there is no one lording over anyone else. Jesus is the high priest, and we are all little priests in Christ Jesus. So it's a satanic deception to try to exalt one man over another man, because no man has the lordship over anyone else in Christ. The place where the lordship happens over other men is in the system, the religious systems of the world, but not in the body of Christ.
Question.
Yes.
Okay, if you refer to the Old Testament,
yes,
even through Moses' time, and they are very specific as to who can go into the tent of worship,
yeah,
who aren't, and who does what, and, you know, all this, I mean, this way of, and the pattern, like what we have now, you have the archbishops, and, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Isn't it the same? I mean,
very good point. And, see, we talked about this when we went through the New Covenant in Christ. It was a five-part series, and it's already been posted. The summary version of that is, the Old Covenant was a shadow and a type of that. Hebrews 8 tells us that Moses was instructed to build it exactly like the tabernacle, exactly like this, because it was a natural example of a spiritual reality. Now, people were given specific assignments within that tabernacle. But for example, Jesus is referred to, here you go. So that's the heavenly tabernacle, and this is the earthly one. So when he was given the example to build that like that. But see, what happened was, even within the Old Covenant, with the Levites, when they were given that position, God wanted to speak to everybody. So when we talked about the truth about tithing, when we had gone through that one, we saw that even when that principle came out, it came out even from a rejection of the people wanting to hear God's voice for themselves, saying, Moses, you go talk to God. And then Moses went and talked to God. Then they broke away from that. Then the Levites emerged as a group of people that would, who's on the Lord's side. And then they became the people that would then minister unto the Lord, because they were set apart, because they would basically be on the Lord's side and take that tough stand. They had to kill their very, very close people that day. They killed a lot of people in the camp. So so all of those was a shadow and a type of. But when it comes down to actually then, all right, now functioning under the new covenant, well, Jesus is the high priest under the new covenant. So we have no more man-made high priest that has to go in year after year and offer sacrifices for us to make us right with God. We have one person that made that way to Him. But also, the way is made through His body and His blood. So He's also the way that grants us entry to that. And then what happens is, again, it comes down to the individual connection. Because see, before, for example, the priests were the only ones that could see the high priest was the only one that could even see into the Holy of Holies once he went in there once a year. When the veil of the temple was rent, when Jesus said it is finished, now all of a sudden everybody could see, because it was opened up. So the natural the spiritual reality was that all who would come in Christ would be able to see and have access to that, if they choose that. Now, somebody quickly got a needle and thread, sewed it back up in the natural, and said, no, you still need man to get to God, and quick tithe over here and give me some money. But on the spiritual level, they can't ever sew that up. Because on the spiritual level, we have direct access to the Father. Boldly we can come before the throne of grace because of Jesus Christ, period. Not because of, again, anything that we've done that grants us special privilege or, you know, it's not in and of ourselves. Our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. It's purely because of Christ Jesus that we have this access. So, but then when the scriptures talk about, but God does, we are a body. So the confusion comes when people start thinking that assignments within the body of Christ are of more importance. So even Paul was trying to address this when he said, look, just because, you know, if you're not an eye and you say, hey, I wasn't made an eye, you know, but, you know, or I'm not a foot, so, and but it's like, but the body needs every piece. And every piece of the body that is there, if it doesn't do its function, the rest of it suffers. So not to mistake functions and responsibilities within the body of Christ, we only have one head that all of us get the instructions from. And it's very easy, you just look at your own body. I need these fingers as much as I need the heart that pumps the blood. I need all of it. And it has to all be functioning. Now, with prayer, again, let's bring that back to prayer. In prayer, you receive, and in your connection, you receive your instructions from your Creator. So even there, He would show you, hey, why are you trying to be a liver? You were never made to be a liver. You know, you were not designed like that. You're trying to do something that you were never equipped and designed to do. You're very, very frustrated. Your role is, you are a very, very nice toe. You're a perfect toe. You were meant to be. But I mean, just, and so what happens is people get frustrated because, again, they start doing things under the hierarchy of men, and in their attempts to try to please people and not in connection with the Father, they end up on another path and another way that they're, you know, it's just they're not in step with the Spirit. See, God will lead and guide you into all truth by His Spirit, and including your what He has for you while you're here in the earth. So now Jesus is, okay, He's the path. We're on that path with Him. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us into all truth while we're going on that way. And He links up your life with people in the body of Christ while you're on that path that will encourage and strengthen you. They're there. But a lot of them, you have to also test them because everybody's fallible. Everybody makes mistakes. The only one that isn't is Christ Jesus. And so even there, people have come from all kinds of backgrounds and mental blocks and mind control that they've been through. So we always have to come back to what is the rightly divided Word of God say about this? What does the Spirit of God in me check me on this for? Because I've given people advice before from my own mind that hasn't been necessarily what the Father would say to them. But I'm just thinking, you know. Remember when Jesus, when Peter was saying to Jesus, Jesus has said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter's like, stands in front of him and says, Lord, you know, say this is never going to happen to you. And, you know, Peter is out of his own best intentions for Jesus, is saying, you know, I don't want this to ever happen to you. But Jesus says, you're a trap and a snare to me, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. The trick was that Peter was thinking like a man. And so the life for us was found in the death of Christ. But our death would have been in the sparing of Jesus' life had he followed the temptation that Peter was being used by Satan to throw at him. So again, Jesus lived out his life in connection with the Spirit of God. He lived out his life in connection to the Father. And so when we look to a model of anything, we can always look to Christ for that direction. And Jesus, you know, he had to get away. There was a lot of times he had to get away. You know, just because he wanted he'd have to get up early, find a spot, and even then they'd find him, you know, because they always had something they wanted to try to get out of him. But he still, that was the priority for him. Okay. So, let's see here. So John 14:6, so Jesus says, the point of entry, the path itself, the one who walks with you on this way. All right. Now the difference between, let me just touch on this from last time, a couple times ago, the difference between praying in the name of Jesus versus praying using the name of Jesus. Anyone remember the difference? Because there is a huge difference. See, spiritually, here, you are praying from a spiritual position. You are in Christ Jesus. That is what it means to be in Christ, to pray in the name of Jesus. There are people that are over here, and they're not very happy, but they pray using Jesus' name. And the scriptural example that we were using was Matthew 7. Many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Good works in your name? Heal, cast out demons in your name? They used his name, but they were never in connection. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So here, now this is eternal life, John 17:3, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So that is life. So life is in Jesus' name. Life is in connection to the Father through Christ Jesus. Out here, you can... I'll give him some hair. Okay. Out here... Yeah, yeah. But he's working his way over here. Okay. But out here, if you are outside of Christ, you people are out there and they pray using his name. And they use it like an American Express card. So it's just like, and they get real loud, and you go, in the name of Jesus. And they get, you know, that preacher that, and they have their special prayer voice. So, brother, we're going to pray now. And so, but the difference, the reason it's funny is because you know, you've seen it time and time again. And so, and see again, outside of when somebody has a real legitimate connection with the Father, they rely on form, they rely on external appearance, and so this is when we went through that the very first lesson when we talked about the difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector that came before God, and Jesus citing their prayers and said, one of them prayed with himself, and the other one, went home justified. One of them was real with God, and God, who looks past the outside appearance and sees the heart, saw which one of them was real and which one of them wasn't. Which one came to him with honesty for a connection, and which one of them was happy to remain outside in his own thing and just try to use God as a token for his social advancement. Brother, so, but here's the, when you see that, you know, just leave it where it is, because the Spirit of God will quicken you when somebody, you know when someone is in connection to the Father or not. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they won't follow another, John chapter 10. So when somebody is not in connection to the Spirit of God, don't make excuses for them. You know, he's just a really nice guy, or they do these good social projects, or because it said that they did. Matthew 7 said that they did all kinds of good stuff, but they never knew him. And it can be a snare and a trap to you if you would seek to justify man, and skip out again on the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we have to draw a strong line in the sand and say, no, you know, we know the way God speaks to us, and we trust the way the Spirit of God speaks to us, and we will walk in that line and in that step with him. Because here's the other thing too, when the Spirit of God will lead you, it's you that he's leading. And if he is something specific for you, no one else will get that instruction. They might receive some affirmation from the Spirit, or something will quicken you along those lines, but it's for you. So you will have a burden for something. You will have a leading by the Spirit for something, because God gave you that. And so, you know, don't get frustrated when, you know, everybody doesn't want to start an orphanage in Tangal. You know, it's like, no, God gave you that leading. He spoke to your heart for that. That's what he has for you. And so if you learn to trust the way the Spirit of God speaks to you, then when he speaks to you like that, and you learn to understand and know his voice, then you'll follow through with that. Because otherwise what happens is, you will, if you depend on people to speak to you and to affirm everything that you would hear from God, you will never go anywhere. Because you'll always have someone with very, very good intentions that will always be trying to save your life. And they will always tell you, don't go there, don't do this, have you thought about... Now, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. There is a proverb along those lines. But you have to stay, again, within the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, even if at the end of it you will be all by yourself doing this by yourself. Because that's what happened to Jesus at the end. You know, there was not a person that wanted him to go to the cross like that, except for the Pharisees and those that hated him. But the people that loved and cared about him, they didn't want that to happen to him. So, you know, the people that... So, it's... You have to, again, cultivate that and the familiarity with the Spirit of God and how He speaks to you. And that comes out of prayer. So, see, even when we talk about, you know, your faith growing, it's just your trust that would grow. And your trust grows because the last time something happened, you saw Him work. And so now, for example, you know, Tanya's example about, you know, that situation where she was praying and she was in a very real place of having a need. When now, the next time she would be faced with a similar situation, she can refer back to, wait a second, God has already done this one. It's already happened once. And then some. So it's not a big thing for Him. And then you start learning, look, He will show up at the very last minute if necessary, but He will be there. Because I'm one of His kids and I'm walking in step with Him. And then it also starts becoming exciting because your life becomes this adventure where, wait a second, you don't know exactly all that's going on, but you know that He's already there ahead of you and He shows up. So, and it's usually much more than you ever planned or thought or imagined could happen. Okay. So, the difference between praying in Jesus' name versus using His name. So we pray in Jesus' name and we remain in Jesus. So you can remain in that state, you can remain in that spiritual position throughout your day, throughout your life. Throughout every day of your life, you can remain in a place where you're in continuous connection with the Spirit of God and the leading and the guiding. That's possible. You can cultivate that. But you also have to watch for the tricks of the enemy, which seek to bring you out of that. And it can be everything from the demon-oppressed driver on the road to somebody in your family that just knows the right button to push to get you to snap and lose all your connection and get right into yourself and into your flesh. So you have to learn again. See, you can't control and change another person. All you can do is change the way that you respond to them. So change, and this is why too, when you keep that connection, the Spirit of God will give you the right responses. So even if you may not, you in and of yourself wouldn't know what to say back, but He will show you, wait a second, don't go this way, you know. And, you know, many times what will happen, especially in the world we live in, and this is a trick of the enemy, is he will give you two or three choices and all of them are bad. And so what will happen is like somebody will call you up and they'll say, okay, you know, we need you to do this, or, you know, can you do this or this or this for me? And, you know, here's your options. And they control your options even from the start as a trick to try to get you to pick something. And if you're in connection with the Spirit of God, then he will show you, wait, it's none of those. Come back to it with a different response. And the case of that would have been like with Jesus, you know, the question about taxes, which was a trap, should we pay taxes or shouldn't we? And he just went a whole different route with the very same question and turned it back on them and revealed their own hearts. So, so that's why too, see, the world is very tricky. The enemy that we have of our souls is incredibly skillful. And so just to be conscious that he's out there. And see, what prayer does is, I've used this example before. It's like, say, imagine that you just learned to play chess. You know, you've just learned to play chess. And all of a sudden you sit across from Bobby Fischer, who is, you know, the one of the greatest chess minds that ever lived, and you are now supposed to play him in the game for your life. Now, you wouldn't have a prayer. You wouldn't have a chance if you were left in and of your own devices to do that. But all of a sudden now, what prayer does and what happens when you come into Christ Jesus is now you are connected up. You have this little earpiece in your head that says, okay, pawn A2 to A5. You know, and so it's just like he gives you each instruction as you need it. And in that, in the game that you are playing, you navigate through this thing. And so you may not understand all the intricacies of what's going on, but he sees the game that's what's going on. And he, because he's the one that made Bobby Fischer and knows everything far more than him, navigates you through that, and you end up at the end of it overcoming. You end up at the end of it actually winning. So, not in the eyes of the world, but for sure in the eyes of eternity. So, that's why when you are a person of prayer, and you've cultivated that, you learn, he shows you how to navigate through this life in a way that that you cannot do it without it. You can't, you have no other way through this life without it. Okay, last time we also discussed some things that block our ability to be in connection with the Spirit of God, our ability to hear. And some of those were, can anybody remember a few of those?
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness was one, yeah. So, any others? Quick.
Unbelief, disobedience, and praying against God's
will. Very good. All right, so those are some, but there's more. But there are things that, and we went through last time again the spiritual tabernacle and how, for example, with something like unforgiveness, what happens is you end up stuck at the place where you would have, in the natural, when they had the Old Testament tabernacle, you still couldn't reach this place of where you would have come in and the prayers were made and all of that. So you are. With unforgiveness, what happens is that the chapter was, I think, Matthew 18. Yeah, Matthew 18, 21, very good. Where 22 through 35, where basically where God himself says, look, you know, when somebody chooses to not forgive, you know, they get turned over to torturers. And so they have to repay the debt that they owe. So they refuse to forgive someone else, and so then they reap what they've sown, basically. And so ultimately, it's the difference is it's like giving up somebody's debt of 500 rupees, and you just received 500 million. You know, it's stupid to hold on to things. And I mean, we feel, this is the flesh, but in the flesh you feel like you have a right to that, you're entitled to that, I was hurt, and darn it, I didn't deserve that, and so, but of course not. Jesus didn't deserve the cross, but he chose that for us, for our sake, because we needed someone to do that for us, otherwise we couldn't in and of ourselves. So we choose to forgive because he forgave us. We choose to love because he first loved us. So we reciprocate what he's done for us, but we do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, because you cannot forgive in and of yourself. What you can do is set your will to forgive. What you can do is choose by your free will to allow for the operation of the Holy Spirit inside of you that restructures you and enables you to forgive. And when that happens, what happens is that you are set free. You are set free from the bitterness that holds you from that. And all of a sudden now you're in this place of, again, free flow and connection with the Father that you were made for. So, other ones that we talked about was unbelief. We talked about disobedience and willful sin. whatever it is, just let it go. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do with this? And do whatever you must to live in connection in the vine. You want to be in the vine. So, okay. I wanted to spend like a little bit of time tonight, more now, talking about some useful tools for you with prayer. So, let's say you are now in the place where you are in connection with the Father, and the hindrances that are there, those things, you've laid aside every hindrance, even as the Word instructs us to, and you're running this race with Jesus. Okay, what are some tools that you can use in prayer that will help you, will strengthen you? So I'm going to give you a couple tonight that will be okay, one of them is praying the Word, praying the Scriptures. And I don't know if anyone's ever talked to you about this or... Okay, first, go to Psalms 119. I think God had a sense of humor too, because there's so much good stuff in Psalms 119, but it's also the longest psalm in the Bible. And so I think, like, people that are like always in a hurry and, you know, just trying to check off that they read a psalm for the day, they never get to this one. And so so I think, like, you know, he just hid some stuff in there for people that really want to know. He does stuff like that. It's kind of funny. Okay, actually, I want to start a little bit earlier. I'm going to start at verse 41 and go through 46, but the key verse is verse 49. Verse 41 says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies because also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted me myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wickedness that forsake thy law, because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." Okay, you bring yourself into the rightly divided Word of God. Now, cross-reference this with, flip forward to Psalm 138 and verse 2. I'll just start with verse 1 and then 2. "I will praise thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Okay, so key here is he has placed his word even above his name. So what that means is that God would sooner destroy himself than to break his word and his promise. Now, what's important is you know what his word and his promise is. Because what happens is people will say, "Oh yeah, I saw in the Bible that you know, I'm supposed to have 700 wives," and it's so, no, you know, it's like, where did you get that? I was like, so you need to know what the Scriptures actually said, so, and what God was actually saying, so that then you know, all right, he has placed his word even above his name. Like, his word, when he speaks and he says something, that it happens, it is finished when he says it. So that's why when Jesus came and he walked on the earth, every single prophecy that was spoken about him, because God is outside of time, and so he even just throughout time set it up, said little earmarkers saying, okay, when he comes, this is how he's going to look, this is what he's going to do, this is what he's going to happen. He'll be born of a virgin, he'll be drawn out of Egypt, he's going to come to Jerusalem riding on a colt. So they go through all these different things so that there is no possible way that anybody could miss the fact that this was, is, and always will be the Son of God that came, the Lamb of God that came to die for the sins of the world. Period. So it's it doesn't take a genius to see that. Now, it takes a heart change to really receive that, and the Father has to open somebody's eyes to that. But, you know, God hammered that out for all eternity because He said it. So, He places His Word at the highest place. And He even subjects Himself to the authority of His own Word. So that's why, too, see, I am the Lord, I change not. That's what God said. So He never changes. So God is absolutely consistent. Now, the way that we relate to Him has changed somewhat because of, for example, in Christ Jesus, like you were bringing up earlier, we have a different access to the Father now than we did under the Old Covenant. We actually have direct access to the Father through Christ Jesus. So when we start looking at praying the Word, first we have to understand why we would do that. Because God, when His rightly divided Word is, if you have that, and you understand the Spirit of God quickens you to what that is, all of a sudden now, you start praying in line with the promises and the divinely revealed will of God already. Because when we started the prayer in Matthew 6, where it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we're praying for that. So now it's an extension of that. Because even as we talked, we said, every one of those, you can pray 7 hours in that prayer, easy. But understand that God has placed His Word at the highest place. So His Word is, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but you know, not one jot or tittle from His Word will pass away. And all of it's going to be fulfilled. All of it, when God says it, it's done. So that's why for me too, when I know that God has said something to me about life, and I know it's come from Him, not from a man, it's settled. I will keep it in front of me so that I am reminded of it, but I don't have to stress over it because it's up to Him now. I just fulfill the role that He has for me in that. With Psalm 119 and verse 49, where David is writing, he says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." So there is an element too of bringing God in remembrance of His word. Not necessarily he knows what He said, but we do it because it strengthens us. And it, when we bring that out, we begin to come into remembrance of the promises that He has made as well unto us. So, take this now and let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians, nice little four chapter letter from Paul. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So, we need a mind change when we come to the Father. See, everything about you, the world that you live in, from the day that you came here, has been bombarding your brain, your head, with everything that is contrary to the Word and Scriptures. So it tells you you're something that you're not. It conditions you to buy things you don't need. It tells you that you should worry about this, that, and the other. That Scripture tells later on, you realize, wait a second, God promised you to take care of this. So when you come to the Father, you come with all of that baggage and different levels of damage depending on how much of a bite it took out of you before you, everybody had something, but you come with that to the Father. And so what happens is when the Spirit of God comes into your life, He begins to organize you, begins to reshape you, but also we have to make that decision of our free will. Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. We choose for His will to be manifest in us. Part of that now is for this mind to be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. So our thinking needs to be reshaped around the Word. And because now Jesus is the Word. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." So Jesus was with and was and is God in the beginning as well. So from the very start, again, back to our nice handy dandy diagram, Jesus is the author and the finisher. You start to see how Scripture's tying together with this. So you come into the Word again, you come into truth, way, the truth, the life, and now we need our thinking reshaped again around what is actually true. So for example, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So for example, when you see all of the stuff going on in this nation, you realize that, wait a second, our battle is not with bad people doing bad things here, but the real issue is what you can't see with your eyes, which is the demonic forces behind the scenes that are using these puppets out there that they've given themselves over by their free will, and so they're using people as their extensions, but basically to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, which is what the devil does. And they sold their soul for 15 minutes of fame and power. So, but you start to realize, wait a second, that is what's true. Not what you read. Well, I don't think the Daily News has ever printed anything true. But so if you can, so we need our thinking to be revamped. So now, when we start saying, okay, when you start praying the Word, here's something that you can do. Now, I brought an example of something. This is a nicely done one, but there's other stuff like this. You can make your own. But I haven't used this for a while, but I've used to use this a lot more. But basically what this is it's called the Keys to His Kingdom, Praying in the Word of God. And it's just something that was made by somebody where they basically pulled Scripture in relationship to something that you would be doing. So there's a section on prayer, there's another one on confession of sins, and just intercession. And so what it is and then, like, if you're praying for people, there's and so what it is that it's just scriptures that are in relationship to something specific that you might be praying on. What that does is now you're going back into, all right, here's what Scripture has said about this. And so let me not just pray with, you know, I can definitely pray straight to God with the words that come from me. But if I go to the Word and allow that Word to pray that Word back to the Father, that also, I am going straight to the heart of this thing. Let's deal with this according to what He said, not according to even my own thoughts. Because see, here it is too. If you're stuck with your own thinking, you're still wondering, wait a second, you know, what's going to happen here? But if you ground it in the Word, in the bedrock of Christ Jesus, He is that cornerstone, you know then, wait, this is settled and it's done. So, let's take a real practical, tangible example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And we've already looked at this, but Scripture, you cannot exhaust the Scriptures. Impossible. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. And let's keep in mind Tanya's testimony when we go through this one. Says that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, let's go back to an example that we've already had today. Real testimony of just even how God miraculously worked between last week and this week with somebody that's here. You face a situation in your life where you have real need. This passage here is just talking about food and clothing, basic necessities that people will face and people face around the world in their lives. And the heathen, the people that were the pagans, basically that being people that don't know God, are constantly obsessed with, because they don't know where that may be coming from. That's why they actually worship money, is because they see money as a means of provision for that. Money is a means of security in that. But God says, look, you know, you can't serve two masters. You either love one, hate the other, serve the one, despise the other. But with him, he, the one that made us, also knows how to take care of us, also knows how to fix us. So when you would pray the scriptures with something like this, and say you have, you see a crunch coming up in your life, and you say, Father, I am facing something right now. I go to your word here, and Lord, you have said in your word, Jesus, you yourself said while you were here, you said to me, therefore take no thought, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles do seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God, this is what you said to me. You promised me this. So I am putting your kingdom first. I am seeking you and your plan and your purpose for my life first. This is what your word has told me. So I am leaving this before you. I'm trusting you with this. You see the need. You know what's going on. You're aware of it. I'm trusting with what you have spoken to me in your word. I'm inviting you to work out your plan and purpose with this thing in my life. Amen. You see how that works? Because when you do that, now you have put it back to the Father in a way. He loves that. He absolutely loves that, because see, now what you've done is you have stepped out of your own mind and your own thinking into, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now you are working with his thoughts about what he says about the situation. So with his thoughts, he's like, look, I got it taken care of. You know, I already got this. It's not a big deal. And see, it may not be, you may not need a salary increase. You may need a new job. You may not need a new job. You may need to be relocated. You may not need to be relocated. You may need a cash infusion. You don't know. You don't know what it is. But what you do is you say, God, you know exactly what I need. So I don't even want to limit the options. I just here's the issue that I'm facing. You deal with it. And I'm trusting you to deal with that. And I don't want to waste any more time about this, because also you said in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've also told me in your word, be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication make your request known unto God. So God, you've told me this. So I trust you with this. I'm bringing it before you, and I allow you to work out your purposes and plan in my life. That is what it is to pray the word. And when you do that, you are opening up the door for, I mean, it gets very, very exciting, and it gets very powerful as well. So rather than wondering what God thinks, just, so let the word, one way that you can do this is as you read the word, when you see things that are promises that God's made, just create your own sign for your Bible and mark it. mark something in the scripture. So when you see things that are promises that he's made, or there's instructions that he's had, or things, and see, God won't, he won't tell you to do something that he doesn't empower you to do. So you can trust also, again, that if he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, also in Christ Jesus, it's because you, by your free will, can make a decision in collaboration with the Holy Spirit for that to happen. So he's not telling you to do something that, he's not saying, okay, now fly to the moon without a ship. You know, oh wait, it's like, oh, you can't do it, what's wrong with you? No, he's giving you something, do this and I'll empower you to do it. So, that's a practical example. So pray the scriptures. Scriptures are powerful. Scriptures are the Word of God Himself. And I love, love, love the red letters, because this was Jesus Himself speaking truth in the earth. He was Himself, the very words coming off His mouth here. And so it's just, I love the red letters. So pray the scriptures. Okay, I'm going to give next one. I'll give you one more. Another tool in prayer is praying in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to demystify this for you, because sometimes when people say, it's gotten crazy sometimes with people where they're like, you know, they've made it something that it's not. Many times, again, when we talk about there is no superstar body of Christ, there is, everyone is on the same level in the body. And so what's happened is sometimes people will say, oh, spiritual gifts, and oh, okay, now this is something somebody has. And no, let's look at this scripturally. Praying in the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, and verse 26. All right. Actually, let's go verse 25. But if we hope for that which that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit, big S, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I might as well read this next verse. I love this verse. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Again, just remember, whatever your circumstances are, if you're walking in step with the Spirit of God, that God is in control of that, and He's working something out even through whatever difficulty you might be facing. Okay, praying in the Spirit. The Spirit knows what's going on much more than even you or I can ever know or comprehend. So when you are praying and the Spirit of God in you is making intercession, He knows that, so you may just be feeling like junk. He knows maybe you have a chemical imbalance. Maybe you have a demonic attack coming against you. Maybe it is just Him prodding you to pray for something that maybe there's, like you were talking to your cousin Prion, who was praying for before the tsunami. And so the Spirit of God was just stirring him for weeks before this thing happened. And in the place where he was living, nobody died. And because he was praying for the safety of people in that area. So there is, we don't know, but the Spirit of God knows what's going on around us, inside us. And we are in the earth because God works from the very beginning of time. He covenanted with man to accomplish His purposes in the earth. And He does the very same thing even to this day. So the Spirit of God maketh intercession through us. And so you avail yourself to allow Him to do that when you allow yourself to pray in the Spirit. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. If there's any questions, you can always stop me. Not a big deal. So I won't talk you down. I will not. I'm sorry, I can't help it. Okay. Oh, I know, that's my preacher voice. Because when they... Because, you know, they always have a special voice that they pray in. You know, it just... When it's time to pray, it's just goes their little voice change. It goes lower. It's like, okay. All right, never mind. Okay. Verse 14 said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Okay. So Paul is referencing two different types of prayer here. One is praying with the understanding, and another one is praying with the spirit, small s. Now, because there's... Okay. Keep this in mind and flip back to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4 says, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So, okay, so all language is from God. I'm not going to get into the background of everything that's happening here, except the fact that God mixed up the languages of the world, created tons of different languages. Tons of different ways that people try to communicate, and so he did that. So languages, and the very first language that all people had was a language that was given by God, which ended up getting corrupted here, and that they were using to do something to their own egos and their own self. Thing that they were pushing, but when God gave them a ton of different languages and scattered them as a result of that. So now, when we start talking about something like the gift of tongues, for example, all that is just another language that the Father gives, but it's a spiritual language in that it's something that it's a link up in the spirit with the Father that the enemy doesn't have a code book for. So when somebody would pray in the spirit with that gift, it's a gift that the Father gives as well. When somebody would pray in the spirit with something like the gift of tongues, what happens is, it's like have you ever seen like the old Batman? You know, where they have that red phone? You know, and so the commissioner has this red phone, and it's his direct link to Batman, and Batman in his study has the red phone, and so it's just one line that goes back and forth, and nobody else can tap that line, and so he's like, yes, okay. So that is, it's kind of similar, but basically, that is that's your red phone. And so it's just this, when people... It's not this mystical whatever. It's a gift of the Spirit that the Father gives. There's a difference between the manifestation of of somebody praying in the Spirit when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the difference between that and the gift of tongues. Gift of tongues is something that you have it. It works as the operation of the Spirit wills, but it's there. If you have it, you can. If you just even stop and quiet yourself, you can even hear the voice of the Spirit inside of you, and it just can come out just like another language would. You would use it in prayer. But when somebody prays using that, it's this line that is not tapped. So, because see, here's something too. People give the devil and his minions way too much credit. It's good to understand them and to understand their methods, but also to realize, wait a second, they have limitations. They don't know everything. Only God knows all. And if they, in fact, Scripture said if they knew what was going to happen if Jesus was crucified, they would have done everything they could to stop it. So they don't know what's going on, but they're working within the lines of what they do know. So it's like you have this instant connection to the Father that they can never crack, a code they can never crack, and you're just using that. Because then the Spirit of God that's interceding in and through you is doing that in the earth realm. And it's just another tool that the Father's given us that we can access. So it's not this spooky thing, you know, that you know people have made it out to be, and so people get so wrapped up in, oh, do you speak in tongues? And you know, well, you know, you haven't. Well, what are you using it for? You know, what's it, brother? No, sorry. Here. Go to Luke chapter 11. And Luke chapter 11 and verse 9 said, Jesus speaking again, he said, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So, again, when Jesus was speaking to the early church, he said, look, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive this gift of the Holy Spirit that's been promised to you. 500 people were invited, 120 showed up. Of the 120 that showed up, when the Spirit of God met them, when they were in one accord in that room, they received this empowering that enabled them to be to put to death everything that kept them from being a reflection of Christ Jesus, and they turned the world upside down. But there is, when somebody asks, see again, God is not imposing this on people. He works within our free will. So when somebody, that's why when you start reading scriptures and you say, wait a second, God, I see something about, there's a gift of tongues, there's a gift of prophecy, there's a gift of, you know, what are these gifts? You start asking the Holy Spirit, wait, what are these things? You know, how do they work? And then he starts showing, wait a second, they work as the Spirit wills, not as we do, but you start, and then he starts cultivating a desire in you for these things. Then when you ask him, he usually will call, almost, I've seen always he's cultivating the desire in you because he wants you to ask him for it so that he can give it to you. But all of these things, it's just like it's there for you. He freely wants to impart that to you. It's just asking and receiving it from the Father that loves you. So it's not a spooky thing. It's just, you know, so when people start, you know, they make it spooky, but it's like it's just another language. So it's, you know, if you heard French for the first time, you know, but there's a power that's in it. Then you notice that. You notice when it's in prayer, there's a power that's there. And so it's just, if you have spiritual eyes and discerning it, it's like, whoa. And I remember, you know, there was a meeting that I was in one time, with, in the States, and there was a guy that was speaking in tongues, but it wasn't the tongues of God. Because everything that God does, the devil does a counterfeit. That's what he does. He's a brilliant counterfeiter. But spiritual discernment will reveal the difference. And so even though this guy was speaking in tongues, it wasn't the Spirit of God. And within about 15 minutes of that, he was on the floor, like writhing like a snake and puking and all this, because there was a demonic encounter that was happening as well. So, but God gives the original. And the original is a blessing. So if you see something in the scripture like that and you start saying, God, you know, I see this in your word. Would you give me this so that I can, I want to live the maximum life possible. In one of my prayers that I prayed, you know, some time back, and I think it was just something the Spirit of God quickened me to do, was I prayed and I said, Lord, I want to live the maximum life possible in this dispensation according to what you would say that is, whatever that means to you. You know, so whatever it means to you to live a maximum life while under what we're operating in here and now, you know, that's what I want. You know, so you do it. I just give it up to you. You call every shot in this life that you've given me. I go your way. And I prayed that and I gave it up to him, but I wanted that. I wanted to, and I still do. And in that prayer, I've seen even how he's orchestrated so much in my life. I mean, I couldn't manufacture, if I ever tried to, just the design and the different things that have happened with me. And it just continues to go. So it's him doing that. So you can ask him and he will do those things for you. So we're close to closing out. Just one more thing I want to encourage you is, and you, some people like to journal, some people don't. These are just, this is like just something that might be useful, but to keep a prayer journal. Because, here, let me show you something. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So very, very quickly, people forget or fail to give gratitude to God for what he's done for them. If something like a prayer journal, it can do a few things for you. One is you can persist in prayer on something and not give up on something because you can constantly keep it before you. So like, for example, say you're praying about a family situation, or say you're praying about, you know, something that's there that's really on your heart to pray about. You're praying for someone that their eyes would be open and the Spirit of God would invade their life. When you do that, you keep it there so that you can continuously it's there. You're trusting the Father to work on that. But what happens is when you see the answer to prayer in that area, write it down, mark it, put a date on there. And then it turns from something that, you know, you were praying about to something that you can be grateful about. And then you give it a little bit of time, and then you go back and you look, and you see where God has answered prayer, and it strengthens your faith. And then also, like later on, if you ever start wondering about a situation, because again, you know, like maybe with the work thing, we forget when God intervened, you know, 5 years ago, and got us that, helped us when we hadn't. You know, we're human. We tend to forget. My goodness, in this country, how fast people forget. You know, and so this place is amnesia city. But when you have something like that, you can just flip back through that at some point and see God's faithfulness. I mean, even this thing was fun finding this again, because I go to this book, and there was for people that I was just praying for, that God would open their eyes to Him. And then I start flipping through and I start seeing some names. I'm like, wait a second, yeah. You know, this is that happened. You know, and that's so I start looking at, okay, that this guy, we prayed together on the pool deck, and you know, this guy here, he, you know, after I left college and I got a note from somebody else and they said, oh yeah, he came to Christ and he's on fire for the Lord. And so you start seeing the hand of God working even through and in those prayers. Now again, you're praying for the will of God, so He knows again what's going on, but you're trusting Him with those things. But then when you see how He works in those situations, you know, so for example, say you have this relationship stuff going on in your life and you start praying about it, and if you go back and look at it 5 years from now, you say, oh, thank God I never stayed with that person. You know? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. So, you know, that you open yourself up for basically the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And this is just a way that you can look back and see what He has brought you through, or what He's taken you through. So that'll strengthen your faith. And even something like that too, when you pray later on, you can say, God, You answered this and You helped me and You did something here, so I know this is not an issue for You in what I'm facing today. So like David again, with when he had to face Goliath, and he said, well, and the king was like, you know, what can you do against this guy? He said, hey, wait, there was a bear and there was a lion, and I've already been through those, so this guy will be no different than that. So it's just a manifestation, it's an extension of something like that. So I think good place to stop, we'll see. We might pick it back up there next week, perhaps close this out, or questions.
Sometimes, somewhere down the line, you start remembering.
Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit quickens you too.
Yeah.
He reminds you.
You start thinking, okay, he's like, when he's to your side, and then he comes back, ready, this for you, this for you. He was there right throughout.
Yeah.
That helps you give Him your life.
Yeah, that's another thing too, is in our earlier lesson we talked about this, that the Holy Spirit, sure, the Holy Spirit is a reminder. So for example, when you put the word into your brain, when you feed the word in, what happens is then when you're in a situation, the word comes back. And so for example, for myself, you know, sometimes I know that God's given me a gift with the word, but He brings it back to me. Because there was a time when I was with the Spirit of God and it was going in. So now He brings that back out. And it's the same thing with things that have happened in our life. And it's purely Him. He's the one that does that. But, you know, that's why part of it's just fun when we continue to walk with Him, because we see how time and again He does that. So, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Word. There's just different things that are there for us, and so it's just part of developing and cultivating that walk.
So it's easy to keep the faith, but you have to keep the faith.
Well, but it's not again contingent upon us, because Jesus again, He is the faith.
Yes.
So we just step into Him, and in Him we live and move and have our being. So appointed unto everyone is a measure of faith. What that measure is that everybody has is just enough faith to get you from this place out here to come into the faith, who is Christ Jesus. And in Him we live and move and have our being. So from there, you don't have to keep anything. You just remain in Him.
But it's not easy.
Well, Jesus promised us again. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation.
Because right now, you have the faith. You come to this side. But always there's something from the other side keeps you pulling and pushing you down.
Of course. It'll try.
You always. Sometimes you feel very tired after that. You are like getting worse or giving up. But again, you get back on the current track.
Well, let's go back to one more scripture then with that. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse, let's go verse 28. Hast not thou known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So there is a principle that is endures throughout, and that's even with prayer, is that when you face these, all this stuff that is wearing you out and making you tired and whatever it is, go and get away with the Father. Because when you get away with Him and you feed off of, which is a never-ending supply, the manna that comes from heaven, Jesus Himself that feeds you, He strengthens you. And so what it was that would wear you down, that would wear you out, when you come to Him and you wait upon the Lord, He renews your strength. And though other people will fall all around you, that you yourself will be strengthened. So of course we face things in this life, but that was a promise in the first place that would happen. So it's not a surprise. But when you face it, here's how you deal with it. So let's pray and we will close out for tonight, shall we? Okay. Father God, we thank You, Lord, so much for Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for Your life. We thank You, Father, that You are with us, Lord, and we thank You that just even this evening that You have been with us in this time. And so, Lord, we just pray, Father, for every person in this room, Lord, that You would cement in their hearts Your Word and Your truth, Lord. Let it grow, Father, even as the seeds are planted, Lord. Let it grow and be all that You desire it to be. And, Father, we pray, Lord, for our lives. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You would root us and ground us in Your truth, Father. And